USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I was impressed by his willingness to listen and his true, genuine concern for this topic of conversation.
That's Republican Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin speaking this morning on Fox and Friends, reacting to the president's listening session at the White House yesterday with governors on the subject of school safety and school shootings.
He's very good at opening his ear to the governors of this country.
Though at the listening session, Democratic Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State told President Trump this on his suggestion that teachers be armed.
Educators should educate, and they should not be foisted upon this responsibility of packing heat in first grade classes.
All public schools in West Virginia are closed again today as a teacher strike enters day four. Teachers want more pay and better health care. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
It's time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Flemington right now, 48 degrees, clear skies, no rain today. We're going to have rain later on in the week, though, that you might be need to be prepared for. Today is February 27, 2018. Plentiful sunshine today and a high of 54. Winds will be west at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies and a low of 33 tonight. Winds light and variable. A mix of clouds and sun early tomorrow, then becoming cloudy later in the day, a high of 56. Winds southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Thursday, rain developing later in the day, a high near 55, and then a rainfall near a half an inch on Thursday night. That rain continues for another half an inch of rain on March 2nd in the morning, and then we finally clear out on Saturday, where it'll be a cloudy with a high of 45. Sun appears again on Sunday with a high of 46. Plentiful sunshine at 46 on Monday, and on Tuesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will become overcast in the afternoon, high of 45. Snow. I know it's early. I know it's a week away. But snow is forecast on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Wednesday night forecasted right now 1 to 3 inches. Too early to tell. Just giving you a heads up not to put all the winter clothes away yet. 48 in Raritan, 49 in Ringo's, 49 in Kingwood, 43 at the county complex. It is 43 at West Portal, it's 46 in Tewksbury, and it's 48 in White House. Stay tuned for Tech Today. We're on HunterChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good day and welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never seems to have time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so the consumers seeking solutions for business or personal use can be better informed about making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I will focus on topics about technology. Segments will include news, latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can message me there. Email me at goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. My phone number in the studio is 908-237-0410, and to contact me outside the show, go to BluePantherBIZ.com. That's my website. Pleasure to be with you as I am every weekday from 10 to 11 to pass along tech news and kind of close the gap on the ambiguity and the mystery of technology. We had some announcements that took place this week. Samsung has unveiled their new S9 line of Galaxy phones. This comes from CNN Tech. And it basically well, it was a video. It's not going to help me very much, is it? Let's see. Samsung Galaxy S9 is all about the camera, which is, it's funny, it's kind of like when we buy cars because of the music system. The South Korean tech giant on Sunday unveiled the Samsung Galaxy S9 and the S9 Plus at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, the world's largest phone show. While the phones are about the same size as the previous versions, the S8 and the S8 Plus, the screens are brighter and slightly bigger. They have an advanced camera and stereo speakers, along with fun new tools such as AR emoji, photo language translation, and improved slow motion video. Consumers are expressing themselves more, Suzanne De Silva, Samsung Director of Product Strategy and Marketing, said at a media event in New York ahead of the launch. Quote, "We don't really call each other as much as we text. And that text has gotten richer. We're adding images and emojis to everything," she said. Like other Samsung Galaxy phones, the S9 is water-resistant and touts an infinity display, wireless charging, and a headphone jack. It also features enhanced facial recognition to better compete with the iPhone X. The device will initially be available in black, blue, and purple, with a gray option coming later. Pre-orders start on Friday, March 2nd, and the new phones will be available in stores on March 16th. The S9 costs $720 for an unlocked device, while the S9 Plus is available for $840. Although the Samsung Galaxy S9 builds on where the S8 left off, does it have enough wow factor? It's certainly not a revolutionary model, but fans may be convinced to upgrade for the camera, better audio and video streaming, and often other unique features like ultra-slow motion video. The brightest spot of the Samsung devices has long been its cameras. Its latest smartphone is no exception. The new camera can take sharper photos in challenging light when previous models could not. It has a dual camera with a new dual aperture and works like a human eye to adjust the brighter and dark lighting. It makes sure photos are crisp and clear even in difficult lighting, and the aperture can switch between f2.4 and f1.5 to let in or let less light in. A fun slow motion tool lets users take videos that are 32 times slower than traditional video. This can give you quirky, shareable shots that the phone automatically matches with music, for example. When someone throws confetti in slow motion, the phone pairs the video with upbeat music. The music can be changed if Samsung misses the mark. AR emoji and translation tools. In a bid to take on one of the buzziest new iOS features, Animoji, Samsung's new AR emoji mirror your facial expressions, but the difference is that Samsung's version turns you into a cartoon based on a selfie, similar to the concept behind Snapchat's popular Bitmoji app. You can customize features like hair and clothing and add accessories like glasses. They'll appear in 18 preset GIFs attached to your keyboard. Users can turn themselves into characters like a bunny or a cat, too. While the personalized AR emoji feature does a solid job of mimicking the bunny or cat, characters were less accurate and expressive during our tests. The S9 also has a useful live language translation feature that lets scan objects like a sign or a menu, while the tool is virtually the same as an existing feature in Google. Samsung's camera could lead to wider consumer use. You can hold the camera up to an object and get a fast translation. But the coolest part about it, that's not giving you subtitles. It overlays the object and virtually deletes the original text, replacing it with your native language via Google Translate. It's available in 54 languages. Although Samsung has differed in facial recognition on its Galaxy devices for a while, it's ramping up its efforts even more to compete with the iPhone X's new Face ID features. The new intelligent scan tool blends its facial recognition and iris scanning. Depending on the lighting, the tool demonstrates whether to unlock the phone with its iris scanner or facial recognition. The iris scanner, which allows you to open the phone with your eyes, has challenges working in direct sunlight. The takeaway: it will be easy for the Samsung Galaxy S9 to stand out at the mobile conference in Spain this week because other major smartphone brands such as Huawei and LG are not expected to launch new flagship phones, according to Thomas Husson, who's the vice president at research firm Forrester. Samsung has a great marketing window of opportunity to claim innovative leadership on the high-end smartphone segment. So there you go. New stuff coming out. It seems like, the Note came out back in spring, in fall, but the Samsung S versions come out typically in the spring. So the S9 is out. Not very different, but if you're sitting there jealous about the Animoji and better camera, sounds like you might be wanting to make that choice. Usually many of the large mobile phone companies do some type of swap for you, so you might be able to take advantage of that. It is 10:15. I have to take a break. We'll be back with more of Tech Today right after these messages.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Tech Today. We're on HuntingChamber.com, the voice of business, WHCR-DB, talking about technology, the latest ups and changes in technology. And 1 week is tough to keep up with all the changes going on in the world because technology is not just focused on the area of technology. It's how technology is being utilized or how environments are trying to change to boost or enhance, grow, morph technology. And one of them is California. California scraps safety driver rules for self-driving cars, says Daisuke Wakabayashi in the New York Times. California regulators have given the green light to truly driverless cars. The state's Department of Motor Vehicles said Monday that it was eliminating a requirement for autonomous vehicles to have a person in the driver's seat to take over the event of an emergency. The new rule goes into effect on April 2nd. California has given 50 companies a license to test self-driving vehicles in the state. The new rules also require companies to be able to operate the vehicle remotely, a bit like flying a military drone, and communicate with law enforcement and other drivers when something goes wrong. The changes signal a step toward the wider deployment of autonomous vehicles. One of the main economic benefits praised by proponents of driverless vehicles is that they will not be limited by human boundaries and can do things like operate 24 hours in a row without a drop-off in alertness or attentiveness. Taking the human out of the front seat is an important psychological and logistical step before truly driverless cars can hit the road. Quote, there is a major step forward for autonomous vehicles in California, said Gene Shimamoto, who's the director of California's DMV. Safety is our top concern, and we are ready to begin working with manufacturers that are prepared to test fully driverless vehicles in California. While most of the companies leading the race for driverless cars are based in California, some have started testing autonomous vehicles in Arizona, where the state government has taken a more hands-off approach to the technology. Arizona has not created regulations for autonomous vehicles. Waymo, the self-driving car unit of Google's parent company, Alphabet, started testing autonomous vehicles without safety drivers in Arizona roads in October. Since then, it has picked up passengers in driverless vehicles, and it plans to start a ride-hailing service without human drivers later this year. Uber has also deployed autonomous vehicles in Arizona, but it uses safety drivers in those cars. This is a significant step toward an autonomous future in the state, signals that California is interested in leading by example in the deployment of autonomous vehicles, Sarah Abund of Uber spokesman said in a statement. John M. Simpson, a director for Consumer Watchdog, a frequent critic of Alphabet's self-driving car initiative, said the new rules will threaten highway safety as remote operators try to, quote, control the robot car from afar, unquote. He said the oversight will turn driving these vehicles into a video game, quote, except lives will be at stake, unquote. California requires companies to report the number of, quote, disengagements, unquote, or instances when human drivers are forced to take over for the autonomous vehicles. Waymo had the fewest number of disengagements based on a poor denial basis. Of all the companies testing cars in California roads. Between December 2016 and November 2017, Waymo self-driving cars drove more than 350,000 miles and human drivers intervened 63 times, or about 5,600 miles between every disengagement. Over the last few years, Waymo has had steady progress in reducing the instances when people need to retake the wheel. Man, about a year ago, I was telling you that they were just allowing the testing to take place. Now we're allowing it, not only testing, the allowing the testing to take place, we've done it for 350,000 miles, and now we're asking that the drivers get out of the car. It's just a matter of time. It really is. And I know there are people that are beholden to the American dream of driving your car. But take it from somebody who hasn't had the opportunity to drive a car at all in his life. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. I get so much more work done. I'm able to enjoy my life between commutes, during commutes. I'm able to be more efficient during commutes. Now you'll have the opportunity to do exactly the same. You can sit in the back seat, take your emails, watch a video, have a phone call, and let somebody else or something do the driving for you and avoid the possibility of injury. One of my favorite envisions is that we've struggled with commutes, and we struggled with a couple of years ago, gas tax. The gas was too high. It was like $5 a gallon. And so people were not driving as much. Now we're back to a normalcy in gas, and airplanes are cheaper. Now, they're not very comfortable, and they're very inefficient, and they take a long time to get to the airport and all that stuff. But one of the biggest challenges is going out of state and a fairly significant drive, for instance, going to Carolinas or Georgia or Florida. Now imagine that you could actually get in the back seat of, in my case, a Ford Econoline van, very roomy. I have everything I need in there. We were able to pack stuff up, put food in there, have beverages in there. And now, instead of somebody having to drive it, it's potentially driverless. And you could drive from New Jersey to Florida overnight. Imagine what that's going to do to the airlines, and imagine what that's going to do to the trains. That will be very interesting. It's going to drive all those prices down. Very interesting indeed. So I'm looking forward to it, and quite honestly, I believe it's going to be here probably early adoption 2020. It's going to start to infiltrate our lives probably 2021-22. By this time in 2025, very few of us, or a majority of us, are going to be using driverless cars, and there's going to be a bunch of holdouts that want to drive their own car, and we're going to start to have a discussion as to whether it's valuable and worth it. Now, if that sounds familiar, I was watching a comedian last night that was talking about the comparison between other things in our society we used to have and eventually gave up because society and government rules dictated so, and the debate over gun control. Now, I'm not having a debate over gun control. I don't want to. But bear in mind, we've cyclically done this multiple times in our history. One thing we've done in the past, we've never had it before. Early adopters took it on. The majority said it's not of interest. It'll never happen. It'll never fly. All of a sudden, everybody can't do without it. Netflix, smartphones, internet, World Wide Web, cars in general, airplanes, all those things have come our way, and yet it was, flat screen TVs, flat screen computers, laptops, tablets, all these things have come over the last 20, 30 years. And yet, every time they were showed up, there was a majority of people who said, it's never going to work. It's too costly. It weighs too much expensive. I don't need it in my life. I'm fine with what I have. How many people have a rotary phone nowadays? If you're out there, you are one of the very small minority, if it works at all, by the way. All right, it's time for us to take a break. We're going to do news. We'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a few minutes.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I was impressed by his willingness to listen and his true, genuine concern for this topic of conversation.
That's Republican Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin speaking this morning on Fox and Friends, reacting to the president's listening session at the White House yesterday with governors on the subject of school safety and school shootings.
He's very good at opening his ear to the governors of this country.
Though at the listening session, Democratic Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State told President Trump this on his suggestion that teachers be armed.
Educators should educate, and they should not be foisted upon this responsibility of packing heat in first grade classes.
All public schools in West Virginia are closed again today as a teacher strike enters day four. Teachers want more pay and better health care. This is USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you could be saving big. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. $0 copays apply to Tier 1 generics.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Much of the central United States flooded, and it's getting more rain today.
A ton of road closures really all across the tri-state because of the Ohio River flooding. Of course, in New Richmond, it's a big problem, especially along U.S. 52. It's kind of closed.
That's a report on WCPO-TV in Cincinnati. Forecasters say 3 days of rain is just beginning to fall in the lower Mississippi and Tennessee valleys when more than 250 river gauges already show stream levels above flood stages from the Great Lakes down to Texas. Floodwaters on the Ohio River are the highest in about 20 years at Cincinnati and Louisville. Public visitation for the late Reverend Billy Graham continuing today at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yesterday, former President George W. Bush and former First Lady Laura Bush attended the visitation.
I'm unbelievably blessed to have met him.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Some say the U.S. Supreme Court's refusal to overturn an Arizona case could be a major victory for gay rights. Yesterday, the court let stand the ruling that states that gay couples can have the same parenting rights as opposite-sex couples when they divorce. At issue, a custody case between two Tucson women who were legally married at the time of the child's birth but have since divorced. Yesterday's decision by the justices affirms the precedent-setting 2017 Arizona Supreme Court ruling that determined when it comes to marriage and divorce, all unions are considered equal under that state's law. On another matter before the U.S. Supreme Court, President Trump's plan to end DACA is now on hold after the justices yesterday decided they will not consider the Obama-era policy that's protected so-called Dreamers, instead kicking the issue back to a lower court. President Trump wanted to end DACA by the 5th of March, but a federal appeals court blocked that move. The Trump administration was then asking the Supreme Court to overrule the lower court, but again, the high court passed. The appeals court in San Francisco is expected to schedule a full hearing on DACA in the coming weeks, but it also could be months. And actress Heather Locklear is in trouble with the law. She reportedly was busted on felony domestic violence charges on Sunday night in L.A. TMZ says officers were called to her home and she became combative. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Welcome back to Tech Today. We're on HuntingChamberRadio.com, the voice of business. Talking about technology news, apps, buying advice, hardware and software, and all the other things that go with it. Interesting thing here about Twitter. in that. It seems like Twitter is starting to slow a little bit in terms of its use. So, in Scientific American, it's the title of the article says, big cities have fewer tweeters per capita. But those who do tweet in big cities are more prolific, tweeting more often on average than their small town counterparts, Christopher Intagliata reports. Walking in New York City is almost a competitive sport. And people in cities really do walk faster than their country counterparts, 2.8 feet per second faster, according to a worldwide study in the 1970s. But that speedier pace of life extends to other aspects of city living, too. Quote, there's more inventions per capita in large cities. There's more mobile telephone usage in large cities, said Lav Varshney, an information theorist at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. He says you might expect Twitter use to increase in large cities too, but after analyzing 2.5 million tweets from 50 U.S. cities, his team concluded the opposite is true. There's actually less tweeting per capita as population rises. But those who do tweet in big cities are more prolific, tweeting more often, on average, than their small town counterparts. And so what we discovered is that there's a core of people we call, quote, town tweeters, unquote, that seem to emerge, and those people are actually tweeting a lot. And then everyone else is not tweeting very much in large cities. So those, quote, town tweeters are actually serving as an information broadcast infrastructure. Their analysis is in journal Sage Open, which is Pace of Life in Cities and the Emergence of Town Tweeters. Of course, the faster pace of life in big cities also means that these days lots of people text and tweet while they're walking, and a 2018 remake of We Make Cowboy made more accurate. They said, I'm tweeting here. So that, I guess a call to a particular video. So there you have it. I'm going to propose yet another option or perspective, and it's anecdotal at best. It's just an opinion. I get the sense that those in big cities see a lot of redundancy. And so the excitement of being of tweeting, of using Twitter, and simply sharing information that you've seen gotten old. You're starting to figure out what's the most efficient way to get the information. And so if there is a group of people that have emerged as the ones that have all-encompassing, or the collective group of those people have provided the dearth of information that you wish to receive, everybody else kind of falls by the wayside. People aren't following people as much. So there's big fish that have emerged that are the news outlets, the CNNs of Twitter, for lack of a better word. And some of them might be specialties. Some might have specialties. But for the most part, there might be some that are kind of all-encompassing. And that's it. After a while, you just can't read all the stuff that's coming at you. So you've got to pare it down. And eventually you just say, this is all I want to do. And those people who are not getting the following that they expected, they're not getting the 15 minutes of fame, they start to drop out because they're not getting the feedback loop that they're looking for. And so that's what I believe is going on. You go to a smaller town that has not happened. So there's more competition, and more people are trying to figure out who is the person delivering, or the people delivering all the information to get there. So it's possible that the big cities have matured and grown faster to decide on the big fish and the fish group, whereas the small cities might be still competing with that as there's more adopters of Twitter and the like. So it would be interesting to see how this evolves at some point, but I just see it as overall realize that Twitter could be on a downswing. What's going to take its place? I don't know. Good luck trying to figure that out. If you know that, let me know, because I'd be ready to get involved as much as I possibly can. Let's see what else we have out here. There's I saw something about or a video on the iPhone, but I can't get the transcript of it, so I'll have to dig into that a little bit more. Google has released into it info on 2.4 million right to be forgotten requests. Manila Moon of Engadget says that Google has received 2.4 million right-to-be-forgotten requests since 2014, most of which came from private individuals, according to its latest transparency report. Europe's biggest court passed the right-to-be-forgotten law in 2014, compelling the tech titan to remove personal info from its search engines upon request. In the report, Google has revealed that it complied with 43.3% of all the requests it's gotten, and has also detailed the nature of those takedown pleas. France, Germany, and the UK apparently generated 51% of all the URL delisting appeals. Overall, 89% of all takedown pleas came from private individuals. Non-government figures, such as celebrities, submitted 41,213 of the URLs in Google's pile, while politicians and government officials submitted 33,937. As Gizmodo noted, though, there's a small group of law firms and reputation management services submitting numerous pleas, suggesting the rise of reputation-fixing businesses in the region. Out of those 2.4 million requests, 19.1% are directory URLs, while news websites and social media only make up 17.6% and 11.6% of them. Majority of the URLs submitted for removal are random online destinations that don't fall under any of the previous categories. As for the takedown regions, it looks like 18.1% of the submissions want their professional info scrubbed. 7.7% want their info previously posted online themselves to be removed, and 6.1% want their crimes hidden from search. If you're wondering why Google only complied with less than half of the takedown pleas it received and want to know how to submit a successful request, take this information into account. Quote, a few common material factors involved in decisions not to delist pages include the existence of alternative solutions, technical reasons, or duplicate URLs. We may also determine that the page contains information which is strongly in the public interest. Determining whether content is in the public interest is complex and may mean considering many diverse factors, including but not limited to whether the content relates to the requester's professional life, a past crime, political office, position in life, position, public life, or whether the content is self-authored content, consists of government documents, or is journalistic in nature. We'll find out more about what the law thinks Google should and shouldn't remove once the tech titan faces a couple of lawsuits filed against it in London. Two individuals want the company to remove URLs that have something to do with their previous convictions from search, and the first trial is scheduled to be heard today, February 27th. Interesting stuff. Stuff that we would never think would have been an issue 20 years ago. Time to take a break. We'll be right back with more of Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com in just a few minutes.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tech Today, and we're on WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. We've been talking about mobile phones a lot today, and I'd be remiss if I didn't talk to you about iPhone and where Apple is going with theirs. The big iPhone 10 Plus style phone would be one of three new Apple devices, Bloomberg reports. Mike Sorrentino on the 26th reported that Apple may be prepping its biggest iPhone ever. Remember when everybody used to tell you that the iPhone was just the right size? And they didn't want to get any bigger phones. It was too cumbersome. And they kept poo-pooing Samsung and all the other ones that were getting all these huge phones. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you saw, there was a commercial for ZTE, who's trying to get back in the United States. They actually have a phone now that opens up like a wallet, and it has two screens, one on each side. So it's like a book. And so it allows you to use two screens, or it allows you to have use both screens together as one large screen with obviously a separation in the middle. So we continue to find ways to get bigger and bigger screens. It's so funny to see this growing. Apple's 2018 iPhone lineup may literally be its biggest ever, according to Bloomberg in a Monday report. Apple is designing what would be its largest phone ever, an upgraded edition of 2017's iPhone X, and a cheaper iPhone that would keep the iPhone X design while making concessions for a lower price. Citing, quote, people familiar with the products, unquote, who spoke anonymously, Bloomberg says Apple is running production tests with suppliers involving the three new iPhone models. Previous rumors have pointed to the possible existence of three 2008 iPhone models, but this latest report includes many details about the specs and improvements that might be on the way. The largest of the three would be a screen close to 6.5 inches, packed with a body that's about the size of the current iPhone 8 Plus, made possible using the same full-screen design of the current iPhone 10. Other specs Bloomberg expects is this alleged iPhone include a screen resolution of 1242 by 2688, an OLED display similar to what the current iPhone 10 has, Face ID scanner, and A12 processor. The upgraded edition of the current iPhone 10 is also expected to have the A12 processor, and Bloomberg says Apple is considering a gold color option for both high-end phones. The current iPhone 10 is available in silver or space gray. Other additions expected for both phones include iOS 12, upgraded augmented reality capabilities, deeper integration of the Siri assistant, and Animojis in FaceTime. The third iPhone will still have an iPhone 10-like design, but it is aiming for a lower price by including an LCD display, aluminum edges, and a glass back similar to current iPhone 8. It would not include stainless steel as the iPhone 10 does. And according to a January report from KGI Securities analyst Ming-Chi Ku, this cheaper iPhone would have a 6.1-inch screen and not include the 3D touch feature, included with most new Apple phones since the iPhone 6S. Apple also may be considering a dual SIM card option in some markets for the larger model to make swapping carriers easier, but the report says the company might also wait for eSIM technology to be embraced by carriers. Apple has been offering a version of eSIM technology in its iPad lineup since 2014, which lets customers switch their carrier from the device instead of switching out SIM cards. CNET reached out to Apple for comment and will update should we hear back. Lots of great stuff. People looking forward to larger phones and more technology enhancements. Just amazing to see. So, there you have it. It's 10:54. Let's see if I got one more item that I can get to before we have to pack it up. Here are the best 100-watt LED bulbs for you. This should be interesting. These LED bulbs offer 100 watts worth of light, which is the best. 100-watt replacement LEDs like these are plenty bright and surprisingly affordable. Let's put them to the test. So CNET reports that most folks think 60-watt light bulbs are the basic standard for common household lighting. If you want something brighter, you upgrade to, say, a 100-watt bulb. The thing is, most 100-watt incandescents have long been phased out due to rising efficiency standards. That's why you'll find plenty of 100-watt replacement LEDs in your local stores in the lighting aisle. They provide such as much brightness as those old-school incandescents while using a fraction of the energy. Swap one in for the kind of incandescent bulb they're designed to replace, and you'll save an average of $10 per year in energy costs. They're also more affordable than you might think. While 100-watt replacement LEDs were retailing for $20 or more only a few years ago, prices have fallen to the point where you can find decent, dimmable options for less than $5 each. That makes it the perfect time to upgrade your light bulbs, but which ones are right for your home? With that question in mind, this individual set out local lighting aisles in search of every 100-watt replacement LED that they could get their hands on, and after dozens of hours spent testing, there's what I found, starting with the best of the bunch. The best value pick is Utilitech 100-watt replacement LED. Dimmable 100-watt replacement bulbs from big names such as Philips, GE, and Cree will currently cost you about $13 a piece. But in a lot of cases, you can save some money by going with a similar brand, smaller brand. Head to Lowe's and you'll see bulbs like that from Utilitech. including a 100-watt replacement LED that currently sells in a 2-pack for less than $10. It's dimmable, so average of minimum of 1.1% brightness across all of my test switches, which is better than any bulb I tested, and I never once caught it flickering. I did hear a faint hum when I dimmed it down to a medium setting on modern slider-style switches, but it wasn't loud enough to be disqualifying, and it was silent on all old-school rotary dial that wasn't even designed for LEDs. Also worth a look is Echo Smart 100-watt replacement LED. Best dimmable option, Cree 100-watt replaceable LED at $13. Also worth a look, Philips 100-watt replacement warm glow LED. Best color quality, GE Reveal 100-watt replacement bright stick LED. And also worth a look, Target Up and Up 100-watt replacement LED. So there you go. There's plenty of options out there for dimmable LED bulbs. Save yourself some money. If you buy them, chances are you will save that money within the year, and then from that point forward, you'll be fine. Thanks for listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com. My pleasure to be with you. We'll talk to you again next week. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, embrace it. That's the mission of Tech Today, and hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk to you again next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump defending his proposal to let some qualified teachers carry guns at school to reduce the chance of school shootings. The president was speaking to governors at the White House yesterday.
The school in Florida was so large, Rick, such a big school, you would have had to have 100, 150 guards. I mean, you would have had to have a lot of guards to have that building properly manned. Then you have an armed camp. Whereas doing it like I think you're suggesting, and like many people in this room agree with, it costs almost nothing. I would actually give a bonus to every coach, teacher, etc., because they should go through training.
More flooding expected across the central U.S. today, as rain is expected to fall for the next 3 days, and over 250 river gauges already show stream levels above flood stages. And this is USA Radio News.
Addiction. There was a day when the word addiction was just another word. If you're battling addiction, it's not easy to ask for help. It's hard to admit you really need it. Call and end addiction. Call and connect with representatives of a treatment center or rehab facility. Call and end addiction. 1-800-665-0239. Some insurance plans help pay for the cost of treatment. Be sure to check your policy or call.